Chapter 12. Lieutenant Ewan Burton Angus slipped his car into a parking stall at the Glen Echo Racquet Club, hoisted his tote bag from the passenger seat, and hunched his shoulders against the cold. He hurried past the empty swimming pool and snow-coated tennis courts toward the warmth of the clubhouse. He found the club manager seated at a table beneath a glass case stacked with rows of trophies. "Can I help you?" asked the manager. "Yes, my name's Burton Angus. I'm a guest of Henry Argus." The manager scrutinized a clipboard. "Right, Lieutenant Burton Angus. Sorry, sir, but Mr. Argus called and said he couldn't make it. He told me to tell you. He tried to catch you at the embassy, but you'd already left."
"A pity," said Burton Angus. "As long as I'm here, do you have a racquetball court available where I can practice?"
"I had to reshuffle the reservations when Mr. Argus canceled. However, there is another gentleman who is playing alone. Perhaps you can pair up."
"Where can I find him?"
"He's seated in the bar. His court won't be free for another half hour. His name is Jack Murphy." Burton Angus found Murphy nursing a drink by a picture window overlooking the Chesapeake Canal. He introduced himself. "Do you mind awfully having an opponent?"
"Not at all," said Murphy with an infectious smile.
"Beats playing alone, providing you don't smear the court with me."
"Small chance of that."
"You play much racquetball?"
"Actually, squash is more my game."
"I'd guess that from your British accent." Murphy gestured to a chair. "Have a drink. Plenty of time before our court is free." Burton Angus welcomed the opportunity to relax and ordered a gin. "Beautiful countryside. The canal reminds me of one that runs near my home in Devon."
"Traveled through Georgetown and into the Potomac River," Murphy said in his best tour guide fashion.
"When the water freezes in winter, the local residents use it for skating and ice fishing."
"Do you work in Washington?" asked Burton Angus.
"Yes, I'm the Senate historian. And you?"
"Aide to the naval attaché for the British Embassy."
A detached expression crossed Murphy's face, and it seemed to Burton Angus that the American was staring right through him.
"Is something wrong?"
Murphy shook his head.
"No, not at all. You being Navy and British reminded me of a woman, a commander in the U.S. Navy, who came to me searching for data concerning a treaty between our two countries."
"No doubt a trade treaty."
"I can't say. The strange part is that except for an old photograph, there is no record of it in Senate archives."
"A photograph?"
"Yes, with a notation about a North American treaty."
"I'd be happy to have someone probe the embassy files for you."
"Please don't bother. It's not that important."
"No bother at all," insisted Burton Angus. "Do you have a date?"
"On or about May 20th, 1914.
"Ancient history?"
"Probably only a proposed treaty that was rejected."
"Nonetheless, I'll have a look," said Burton Angus as his drink arrived. He held up the glass. "Cheers."
Sitting at his desk in the British Embassy on Massachusetts Avenue, Alexander Moffat looked and acted like the archetype of a government official. With his hair trimmed short with an immaculately creased left-hand part, a ramrod spine and precise correctness in speech and mannerism, he and thousands of counterparts throughout the Foreign Service could have been stamped from the same cookie-cutter. His desk was barren of all clutter. The only objects resting on its polished surface were his folded hands.
"I'm dreadfully sorry, Lieutenant, but I find nothing in the records department mentioning an Anglo-American treaty in early 1914.
"Most peculiar," said Burton Angus. "The American chap who gave me the information seemed reasonably certain such a treaty either existed or at least had been in the talk stage."
"Probably has his year wrong."
"I don't think so. He's the Senate historian, not the type to muck up his facts and dates."
"Do you wish to pursue the matter?" asked Moffat in an official tone. Burton Angus clasped his hands thoughtfully.
"Might be worth a check with the Foreign Office in London to clear the fog."
Moffat shrugged indifferently. "A vague clue to an unlikely event 3/4 of a century ago would hardly have a significant bearing on the present."
"Perhaps not.
Still, I promised the fellow I'd see what I could find. Shall I make a formal request for an inquiry in writing?"
"Not necessary. I'll phone an old school chum who heads up the signals department and ask him to have a run at the old records. He owes me a favor. Should have an answer this time tomorrow."
don't be disappointed if he fails to turn up anything.
I won't, said Burton Angus. On the other hand, you never can tell what might be buried in Foreign Service archives.